You know, the world is diligent. The world's diligent in its pursuit to convince the church that you don't need to follow the standards written in the Scripture. You know that? They're diligent to say that it doesn't matter. You can just live your life however it pleases yourself. That we can be free from the moral standards of what the Scripture teaches. That's what the world wants us to believe. And Paul, the Apostle Paul tells us to set your heart and mind to heavenly things, not earthly things. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think they have it up here. I've got it right here, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things of above and where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And you used to walk in these ways. You used to walk in these ways in your life, in the life that you once lived. But now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Remove that from your lips," he says. "Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator, of its Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew or circumcised or uncircumcised or barbarian or Scythian or slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Scripture, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether it in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, to the Father, through Him." Amen. Heavenly Father, help us hear You today, Lord. I pray that Your word not fall upon deaf ears. Lord, I thank You for what You're doing, and I thank You for what You've done. I thank You for what You're going to do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So set your hearts and minds on heavenly things. And that as a believer, you died to self and now Christ lives in you. Amen? And put to death. That's like Christ, the fleshly nature of fallen man. The sexual impurities, the greed, the idolatry. It says rid yourself of anger, malice and slander and filthy language. Rid yourself of those things. That's easy enough, isn't it? That's easy. We got it, right? The Bible says, as God's chosen people, put on. That's an action, isn't it? And clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And as if it wasn't enough for us to grasp, he tells us this. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, and forgive as the Lord forgives you. That's easy too, isn't it? Does the Lord really mean what he's asking us to do? Does he really mean that? Does Christ understand how hard it is? I mean, it's hard. There's some people out there that, I'm telling you, they get under your skin. They say things that it's hard to say. You know, sometimes people do you wrong, don't they? And it's hard, isn't it, to deal with those situations. But you know what? Christ, he means it, right? You know, after all that he'd been through, he's hanging on the cross, and some of the last words that he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." After they beat him, drug him through the streets, humiliated him, hung him on a cross to die, he said, "Father, forgive them." And he's saying, no matter what people do to you here on this earth, forgive them like I forgave you. Wow. Well, let me tell you, I'm not Jesus. I struggle with sometimes with things, don't you? But he's saying, put on these things. We have to put on these things. We have to bear with one another. I've talked about this before. I'm telling you, I'm going to say something. If you're around me long enough, I'm going to say something you're not going to like. And I'm liable to just tick you off. Really. As nice a guy as I am, you would think that everybody loves a pastor, right? It's not true. Let me tell you that right now. And I'm sure you all can say the same thing. I mean, we all have a habit of this. But God understands. Jesus understood. Ever somebody said this, a Bible in the hand is worth two in the bookcase. And a Bible stored in the mind is worth a dozen stored in the bottom of a suitcase. I like that. I think he means it. I think he understands it. And I think he expects us to be obedient. And he'll give us the power to be able to do it. You know that? Pentecost Sunday's coming pretty soon. And I'm telling you, that's an important day. It was an important day for the church because then we gained the power to overcome the world. You know that? You hear me? I mean, that's a big deal, isn't it? Because we can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. We've got to have the Holy Spirit in our life in order to do those things. And if, you know, God told us, he said, "Now you be holy, for I am holy." Did he tell you how to be holy? Or would that be applicable for your life? I think it'd be impossible to know how to please God unless God told you what pleases Him. And that's what the Scriptures are there for, right? Amen? We read the Bible, we read the Scriptures, and if you want to know how to please God, you read the Bible and you understand. He tells us how to live. He tells us what to do. And sometimes we look at that and we skip over stuff because we don't, like, no, I can't do that one. We turn to the next page, you know, or the next two or three pages until we find some, oh yeah, I can do this. You know, the indicative statement that says believers are in Christ, they have died to self and have been raised in Christ. They put off the old way and put on the new way. Put off the old stuff. take off the old dirty clothes. The old work clothes, you know. I come in from work and Lynn, you know, the first thing she'd say, "You ain't coming in this house like that. Get your shoes off. Go get in the shower before you even sit on my couch." Put off the old stuff. Put on the new stuff. You know, I had to do that. I don't mind a shower every now and then. You know, it's pleasing, right? You know, the imperative statement indicates that what believers do is as the result of the change that happens within us, right? There's a change that happens to those who believe in Christ. Those that have experienced Christ, there's a transformation that begins to happen. We start to put off stuff. And we start to put on stuff. Those old things that we used to do, those old habits, we know inside, nobody has to tell you. Those old things start to bother you. You're like, "Ooh, why does this bother me now?" It's because the Holy Spirit inside of you is saying, "Hey, you need to put off that. And you need to put on this." It's our choice to listen, though, isn't it? Put to death. Set your mind and heart on things of above. Put to death those things that displease the Lord. You know, my Christian walk, how should I say this without being offensive? It has nothing to do with you. My Christian walk has everything to do with me and the good Lord up above. And the same goes to you, for you. Because I'm not trying to please you guys. I'm trying to please my Father, which is in heaven. And sometimes we get caught up in that. We're trying to please everybody. And let me tell you, you can't please everybody. There's only one that you have to please, and that's the good Lord up above. And that's why we got to put off the old way and put on the new way. And we have to put to death those things that displease the Lord. And part of this new clothing that we clothe ourselves with is compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Because let me tell you, as a new believer, as a babe in Christ, you're going to skin your knees and bump your head and you're going to bang into the walls and the end tables just like a toddler does. And as you grow and you get more mature, and as you grow, you're going to get better at that. You're going to get better at walking, and you're not going to skin your knee as much. You're not going to run into the wall. You're not going to, you know. But all along, us older, mature Christians, I can say that now. I'm older. Feels weird to say that. Especially when you start getting, I'm getting off subject, when you start getting AARP stuff in the mail. You know you've gotten there, right? Or when you get a coffee at McDonald's and they give you a senior discount without even asking, you know. I'm like, "Well, I'll take it. It's cheaper." I got to get back here. But also, we got to forgive each other as God has also forgiven you. And I think sometimes we struggle with that one, especially in the church. And I know I heard Sunday school talking a little bit about, kind of along the same lines as what we're talking about this morning. Sometimes we're good at judging other people, telling them how they should live. Bible, what's the Bible say about, you know, you better check that beam hanging out of your eye, sticking out here before you pull that little speck out of your brother's eye? You know? Forgive each other as also God has forgiven you. In the Old Testament, there in Isaiah 55:7, It says, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. In Psalms 130 it says, but with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I love that. Matthew 6:12 in the New Testament, 6:12 and 15, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't, wow, here's one that, see, people stop right there a lot of times. But you got to finish the statement. He says, but if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? Luke 6:37 says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. The Bible teaches us to find forgiveness in your heart, and God can set you free from guilt and anxieties. We carry a lot of stuff around, don't we? Forgiveness is the process of getting rid of resentments and anger and perceived offenses. You hear me? But I think most of the time we get mad over what we think we heard and the way we think that person looked at us. And most of the time, anger is fabricated. It's a fabricated and exaggerated out of proportion. I've heard it said that burying the hatchet only brings peace when it's not buried in somebody else's head. I know, have you guys ever made mistakes? No, I'm the only one. You ever say the wrong thing? I know I have. I've stuck my foot in my mouth because I let my mouth fly open before my head caught up with my, you know. I've had my foot so far in my mouth, I've been up to my kneecap. We expect others, though, when we do that, the first thing we say a lot of times if we offend somebody, I was like, please forgive me. Would you forgive me? That's the first thing we say. But when somebody forgives us, we're like, I have to think about this one for a while. Just hold on, Trey. Give me a day or two. Let me cool down. That seems to be what we do. Sometimes after a couple weeks, sometimes we think of somebody's name that aggravated this, you know, and we're still carrying it around like, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they said that to me. Just carry it around. God offers forgiveness to us when we sin against Him, right? And He expects us to show the same mercy and grace to others we've wronged. Now, we didn't learn that from Dr. Phil. Or Dr. Oz, newer guy, or Oprah, or Ellen. I won't even. Ugh. Jesus said that. There's power in forgiveness and God's desire that you be set free from bondage of unforgiveness. I know people that's carried unforgiveness around for years and years and years. Years. I mean, I'm talking years. And I believe that forgiveness is a choice. You know, we have free will. You know that? We can choose to forgive or not to forgive. And it's a decision of our will. And I believe from God's Word that there is a motive. I guess it's motivated by our obedience to God and our command from God to forgive. You love God. You love Jesus? You're here this morning, right? You're here this morning because you love Jesus. You love the fact that He gave His life for you. We come together as a body of Christ to come together to celebrate that, to honor and glorify God, our Father in heaven, who so graciously forgave each and every one of us of our sins, no matter what you did, no matter how far you was away from Him, He was gracious enough to say, "Welcome home, brother, sister, child." God's desire to forgive us each time we have a repentant heart. God forgives us. How many times we forgive our brother, sister, feller, fellettes? How many times we forgive? Jesus was asked that question. How many times do you forgive your brother? Just once? He said no. 70 times 7. Forgive them. Every time. That doesn't come easy, does it? It doesn't come easy for us. So how do we forgive when we struggle with forgiveness? We, by faith, really. It's by faith. We forgive by faith. We forgive by obedience to God's Word and trust and pray that God will complete the work of forgiveness in our hearts. There's no need to carry all that around, that resentment and anger and all that. It's not going to help your life. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am certain that God who begun a good work within you will continue His work until it's finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns." You hear that? Jesus hasn't returned yet. So He's still working on me. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe we're closer to that than ever. Tomorrow starts the Passover. Remember that. Tomorrow starts the Passover for the next... It'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There's a lot going on. Remember, I talked about that over the last couple of weeks. There's a lot going on. We need to pay attention to what's going on overseas. Pay attention to what's going on in Israel. I believe God honors our commitment to obey Him and our desires to please Him. And He completes His work in our lives when we are obedient to Him. There's a guy, a person by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. You ever heard that? You ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Several of you have heard that. Heard of statement made. Forgiveness is to set a prisoner free and to realize the prisoner was you. Man, such a powerful statement. How do you know that you've been forgiven for the person or that situation? How do you know you have forgiveness? When we have been set free from anger and bitterness and resentment that imprisoned you. When you can love somebody that hates you. And only you know that in your heart. Somebody's wronged you and you can still love them. That's hard. When you have been set free from anger and bitterness and resentment that keeps you in a prison. And some people have been in prison for a long time in their life. And maybe for good reason. Sometimes you think, people can be cruel. People can be mean. Humanity can do horrible things to each other. I'm not ignorant to that. I've seen things, I've witnessed things happen that I'm like, my goodness, how can somebody do that to somebody else? We hear it on the news all the time. And how do you live with that? How do you get over that? Only through the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can you get over stuff. Forgiveness is pardoning yourself. And forgiveness is letting go so that you can begin a path of healing. And forgiveness is understanding your worth to God. And our true worth comes from our relationship with Him. And not by appearance or performance or net worth. If we grasp that criticism would bounce off of us like BBs on a rhino, right? If we could just get a hold of that, nothing would bother us. You know, you think about greed is never getting enough, but worry is being afraid that there is not enough. And we want forgiveness from God, and He offers it freely every time we ask Him. And He expects us to forgive others so that we are not imprisoned by words and actions and situations beyond our control and things that destroy our lives and our relationship with God. But unforgiveness damages your relationship with God. Unforgiveness, it alienates you from other people as well. And unforgiveness deters you from God's best for your life. Forgiveness rolls the burden unto the Lord. Hear that? When we forgive, you put it in God's hands. God takes care of the rest. He said, pray for your enemies. And you read further on in the Scripture, you see that God will take care of that. He said, hey, I'll take care of that. You pray for your enemies. Forgiveness is not based on the actions of other people either. It reflects your repentant and broken heart towards God and His love and compassion and mercy to heal that broken heart. Because that's what He wants. And all you have to do is take that first step. You go to God and you ask Him to take charge of that situation. You tell Him about your hurts and you tell Him about your sorrow and you can even tell Him about you want justice. That's God's job. He's the one that makes things right. Amen? And when you do that, you'll feel the heavy load come off of you. And I'm telling you, you have to take a second step too. You have to thank God for the things that He's already done. Find it all joy, right? When you have all kinds of trials and troubles and tribulations. You remember that scripture? Consider it joy. Wow. Thank Him for the good people He has put in your life. If you got good people in your life, amen? Man, I got good people in my life. A few of you are here today. All of you. Man, I'm telling you what, I thank God every day for you guys being in my life. I do. I thank God every day for you guys. You make my life better. Not bitter, but better. Focus on positive things and not negative things. We were just talking before church how a story of a church that got split over a clock. Over a clock. Story goes that a man that was in the church owned a feed store. And he got this clock from one of the vendors. that had his that had the name of the, you know, what feed it was. And so the church didn't have a clock. And so this person donated the clock to the church, and they hung it up in the church, and some of the people in the church didn't like the clock. And so they fussed and argued over a clock. And it ended up that half the church went one direction and the other half went another direction. True story. It's crazy, isn't it? You would never think that, would you? But, you know, I hear stories like that all the time. But you know what? There's probably some of us here that could tell stories about how families broke up over silly stuff like that too. Or because somebody said something bad about somebody else, it may have been a half-truth. And then they get mad, and then they don't talk to each other for years down the road. And, you know, we all have those stories, don't we? When you choose forgiveness and reject bitterness, you'll be free, and you'll feel the peace of God come flooding into your life. I think the last step is loving God and loving others. That's what God called us to do. That's the greatest commandment. Love God and love your neighbor. And not only just love your neighbor, but love him as yourself. That's even going a step further, isn't it? Reach out to God and love again, and He'll never fail you. I'm telling you, He will not fail you. I've found in life that hurting people hurt. And they continue to hurt. I don't want to be the cause of their hurt. Amen? Let me tell you, this world's hard enough to get through without us beating each other up. Amen? We don't need to do that. We need to be here for each other. And that's what Paul is saying to the church. You need to be there for each other. You need to love each other. You need to encourage each other. And in many of Paul's writings, he tells the church that. Love one another. Spur each other along unto good things, not bad things, not division, but unto unity. We know revenge doesn't work. It only hurts you. Scripture tells us, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. Just let it go. We don't avenge, we forgive. And when we forgive, God does amazing things in your life. He begins to heal broken hearts. He begins to heal those relationships. And let me tell you, he's not, you know, there's some times where, you know, I say this, you know, it's not that you have to be somebody's best friend. You just have to love them and forgive them, right? So let's pray God does amazing things with us. That's what I pray every day. God, please. I get up in the mornings on Sunday morning and I pray, God, I hope you do something amazing today. And He has. He's put us here together. Amen?
Amen.
So forgive. Love one another as Christ loved and forgave you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for you. I thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. I thank you again for bringing us all together here this morning. Let us learn to love one another. Lord, let your Holy Spirit abound in our hearts. Lord, help us find forgiveness for any wrongdoing that somebody may have said something. Lord, I pray right now that that's gone. Lord, I pray if I've offended anyone here today, Lord, please forgive me. And if they hear that, please forgive me. I give it all to you, Lord, today. Lord, let us leave here better than we came, full of your Spirit. Help us to be great witnesses in this world. Lord, I pray your return. I pray your return soon. And when you come, Lord, that you find us worthy. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.